we left off, Alistair and Daedalus had taken their rest for the evening after the Archbishop and the Order of the Dawn showed up at the manor of the Darkheart family. We learned there at the manor that the ancestral tree had begun to burn while Alistair and Daedalus were recovering from their wounds and their battle with one another. Coinciding with Alistair leaving the manor, this tree burning beckons the Order to him. The Order sees their heir to the Lordship of the Vale is alive, but the family, the royal family, gone. Alistair has been banished from the town of Darkvale and has been banished from the lands of the Vale forthwith until he can prove his innocence to the Lord's Alliance. Following this, Elia Redmore decided to voice her willingness to help Daedalus and Alistair cleanse their wounds and get them ready for their travel to Waterdeep to meet with the Lord's Alliance. After traveling with Elia to her home, the two of them shared some drinks, some kind words, and now the two have taken their rest and are beginning to wake to the smell of what seems to be freshly cooked eggs and what smells to be some sort of cinnamon-like pastry. The sound of currently and freshly cooked bacon. Alistair, you begin to stir and you begin to waken to this scent. And as you begin to waken and rub the cobwebs from your face and from your eyes, you see that both Elia and Daedalus are awake. Elia is currently working in front of the fire, cooking some bacon. She's merely 6-7 feet apart from you. And you see Daedalus has positioned himself at the dining table and has begun to already eat his breakfast. As you stir, Elia sees you, and she turns. Ah, Alistair, you're awake. Your plate's already set up at the dinner table.
Alistair, kind of in this moment, is like kind of trying to get up. He's hearing her, maybe not fully, kind of the brain fog of still waking up, and he is like rubbing his head. He has a bad hangover. He drank too much of the Darkheart Divine last night.
Yes, thank you, Elia, for cooking breakfast. I have a question. Do you have a place where I can bathe and use the restroom?
He looks at you, she nods, and she points down the hall, and she says, first door on the left will be the bathroom. You can go in there and ready some warm water for yourself. You'll have to use some coals here from the fire to warm the bath, but I can get you some. She takes some tongs and begins kind of scooping some charcoal.
I prefer a cold bath. Thank you, though.
Daedalus looks at you. And you can see he's about to shove food in his mouth, and he looks at you. You prefer cold baths. You're insane. She looks at Daedalus and looks at you. He does have a point that is a little strange, but perhaps it's a custom of nobility.
My father said it was good for your testosterone to keep your muscles strong, and Alistair flexes, and it's just that he is skinny right now. He is scrawny. He is not taking care of himself.
He looks at you. Yes, very clearly, yes. She laughs, but you can tell she's like absolutely lying to your face. The bathroom's over there, though, Alistair, if you want to get properly bathed.
Thank you. And he heads over to freshen up, clean up his clothes a little bit. He even tries to fix his hair because he realizes he's kind of being a mess, and he's got to put himself together somewhat if he's really about to, you know, take this seriously. He gets ready and then comes out and back to the kitchen.
Before you come back, I wanted to just do a little something. As you are finishing getting bathed and grooming yourself, you hear a knock at the bathroom door. And a soft voice calls to you, Alistair, I'm not intruding, I hope. I just wanted to bring you some clothes.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And Alistair, like, very little opens the door and offers his hand out.
As she hands the clothes to you, these belonged to Isaiah. He'll be back for them eventually, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind if the Lord of the Vale took them. Or, I'm sorry, if Alistair Darkheart took them.
He smiles. Thank you so much.
She leaves. You get dressed, and you come back out to the dining table, as you said. Daedalus looks at you. You know, you're beginning to actually look like a noble now. When you don't smell like shit and look like you just rolled out of bed, you actually look like a Darkheart, maybe.
What do you know about looking like a Darkheart, Daedalus?
I saw the portrait.
Alistair sits in silence for a moment. Fair enough.
I didn't mean to offend you, Alistair.
It's...
You just learn a lot from a family and things like that. Your father carried himself a certain way. I can see it in you. When you're not covered in a layer of self-pity and alcohol.
Maybe I should try a little more to be like him, huh?
Daedalus shrugs. Be Alistair.
Kind of bites his lip in this moment. Kind of thinking, does he want to try to be more like his father? Or try to wallow in his self-pity a little more? Who knows?
Elia comes over. As the two of you begin, or you may be kind of just sort of picking at the food, I imagine, because you're kind of thinking. Daedalus is just scarfing the shit down. She walks over. How is it?
Alistair, very, very proper in the way he eats. No elbows on the table. Grabbing a knife and a fork, cutting the eggs and sticking them in his mouth.
Reminds me of my mother's cooking, Elia.
He smiles and he slowly eats.
He smiles. That brings warmth to my heart to hear. And what have you, Daedalus? And she looks over and Daedalus is like licking the plate and he's literally like scarfing off the crumbs. And he looks at her and he slowly lowers the plate back down to the table. Takes a napkin and pats off his lips that have tons of grease and crumbs around it. The food was excellent, Elia. Clearly. And then he kind of like smiles, or what you think is a smile on a dragonborn. She looks at him. Well, clearly you enjoyed it. She takes the plate. I don't have enough for seconds, but I will pack you some bread to take with you on your travel. And you see her head over to the pantry, and she starts packing a few loaves of bread for us to take with us. She looks over. I suppose you two will be leaving in a little while.
Yes, that is right. We will be. We have been ordered to leave, actually. Oh, wait, you were there last night. Sorry. Hangover.
It's quite fine. I had begun to forget. Excuse me. I had begun to forget that you two were leaving. Been a while since I've had company. Isaiah's been gone on deployment for going on almost 9 months now. But he should return any day. I am beginning to worry, though. He was due back almost a fortnight ago, and I thought I'd hear from him by now. As she says this, there's a very audible on the front door of the Redmore family cottage. She looks up at the door. You see a smile to her face, and you hear her say, Isaiah! And she runs to the door. Very quickly, you see her get her dress prim and proper, and you see her kind of brush the hair out of her face for a second, and she slowly opens the door. You see her, even from behind, what was a very proper posture, very excited-looking woman, you see her shoulders sag, and her posture almost shrinking within itself. Yes? Can I help you? A letter. Thank you. Here. You see her hand over what looks to be a small copper from her pocket to whoever's on the other side of the door. Thank you. And she shuts the door. Daedalus is packing his bags. You see him move over to his things and he's getting his stuff together. And as he's packing his things, you're kind of fixated on Daedalus packing his stuff and just seeing what things he has and he's putting away, brandishing his sickle. And all of a sudden, you hear a gasp. And I'm not going to do it because I have a son sleeping nearby. But a shriek of what can only be described as despair and woe come from Elia. No! She falls to her knees. God, no! No, Isaiah! No, Isaiah! Daedalus stands up. You see him very quickly. He moves to his feet. Elia! And he moves over.
Alistair follows.
He kneels down next to her. You see, Daedalus moves next to her and he questions her, Elia, what is going on? And she keeps sobbing. more and more, and you just keep hearing her say, no. And she points at the letter with what little energy she does have beyond her grief. Do you take a look?
Alistair is going to grab the letter, yes, and read it.
Alistair, as you open the letter, you see the wax-sealed stamp of the Lord's Alliance. You see three crowns intertwined on this crimson seal. And as you unfurl the letter, open it, you see words. A decree from the Lord's Alliance. News from the fort at Eyespire Peak. There has been a disaster. A dragon has come to the Storm Coast. A white adult dragon. Known for their savagery and their brutality, this white dragon has made landfall in the Storm Coast, specifically at the Forge at Eyespire Peak, to claim a new territory, a new home. You see that the Lord's Alliance mentions a singular survivor, and that no one else made it out of the fort alive. You also see attached at the bottom of this letter is a decree for any and all willing men to garner arms, form militias, and prepare to defend their homes from the dragon. The Lord's Alliance will deal with this swiftly and justly, but gathering the forces to defeat a dragon takes time. The Lord's Alliance is coming, and justice with it. And you see, that is the end of the letter. Daedalus looks up at you. You see him kneeling next to Elia, and he goes, well, what does it say?
The fort near Eyespire Peak was destroyed by a white dragon, and only one survived. Elia. Alistair places a hand on her back, feeling a lot of empathy for her in this moment, because he knows what it's like to lose a loved one. Someone he cares about. Look at me.
He's still weeping, but she manages to bring her eyes to match your gaze, but only for a moment, so you know that she's listening. And then she bears her face back in her hands and into her lap.
I'm going to do everything that I can to bring justice to your husband. And I will bring back his body because he deserves a proper burial. I am so sorry for your loss, Elia. And he's going to embrace her. He's going to hug her in this moment as he even starts crying himself.
As you embrace Elia, she begins to cry more, but she returns the embrace, grabbing very hardly on the fabrics of your coat and your clothes, and you realize in this moment, you are wearing Isaiah's clothes. And she begins to weep, and you hear her say, the clothes still smell like him. Isaiah, and she keeps weeping into you. You see Daedalus is kneeling nearby, shaking his head in disbelief and also in shock of what is to come. You see him match your gaze for a moment as you look at him while you're holding Elia. He looks at the bags and the things, and he begins to gather yours and his belongings. He's not rushing you. You can see that very clearly. He's just preparing things. After a good 20 or 30 minutes of her sobbing, and it does not stop, Elia manages to compose herself long enough to realize that it is time for you to go. The shining rays of the sun coming through the stained glass windows, shining upon her. She sees the stained glass of the couple in the window, the auburn-haired woman and the dark-haired man. She looks at the stained glass for a moment. Tears continue to roll down her cheeks, but she composes her voice long enough to speak to Alistair and to Daedalus.
I know you must go. I know you must go. I'm so sorry. Isaiah. This is all we have. Alistair. Daedalus. I'm sorry. I know you must go. But I don't want you to. I don't want to be alone.
Alistair, in this moment, he approaches her as he's trying to console her, trying to help Daedalus get ready before they depart.
Elia, it never gets any easier, I can promise you that. If you can look forward, something tells me there's always a light there. If you just never give up, don't do what I did. Don't lock yourself away and wallow. It was some of the most intense pain I ever felt, and I feel for you. All it does is take me back to the moment when I saw it happen. And he starts crying. And I'm so sorry you had to lose him. But I promise you, I'm going to make this right. I will slay this white dragon with Daedalus by my side. And I will bring justice for your husband.
Elia is crying along with you, and she nods. As you say these words, she says she managed to get out a broken sentence. It's all right. It's all right. She kind of wipes her face again, pats her clothes. You must go. You must go. I cannot delay you anymore. As Daedalus grabs your bag and hands it to you, he throws his over his shoulder and he motions towards the door with you. Elia calls out one more time. You see her sitting at the dining room table. Alistair. Daedalus. Daedalus stops and turns and looks at her. Do you do the same?
He does.
You see through a fountain of tears flowing from her eyes. Looks you in the eyes and she says, if you find Isaiah or signs of Isaiah, bring what little you can back to me. Please.
I promise you I will. And while this is happening, Alistair is going to pull out a very small pouch. And he's going to put in a very obvious spot, but not make it super obvious that he's leaving her 20 gold pieces.
Right by the front door, there's a small little sort of like armoire. And you place it right there, right on the edge of that. Daedalus looks at you, he nods. And he motions for you to walk out the door, like he's holding the door for you.
He walks out.
As you walk out, Daedalus does not speak a word to Elia. You see him, as he shuts the door, he looks at her. She's not looking at him, she's weeping. He shuts the door. He stares for a moment at the door, now breaking her line of vision to him and him to her. You see Daedalus look down at the ground, and he looks at you.
Well, I guess we're going to go slay a dragon now.
And then he looks at you.
It sounds like we are. I was probably being a little brash. I don't know if I probably should have said that, or if I could even kill a dragon, but something tells me she needed comfort in that moment, and that these people, they might need me one day. We must make haste to Waterdeep, so that I can prove my innocence and lead these people. They seem lost, and I feel at fault.
Aelis is walking with you as you're speaking. You guys are, as you say we should make haste, you guys begin stepping and you're talking as you're walking. Daedalus walking alongside you. Well, if we're going to make it all the way to Waterdeep, we're going to have to stop and get supplies. And clearly we're not going to be able to get any supplies now. It's daybreak here. He pulls out a map from his backpack. You see he's got kind of rolled up on the sort of side patch. He reaches back and pulls it out. He unfurls it in front of you. We are here. And he points with his golden taloned finger. And you see a small little, what looks to be like a star symbol. This is where we are. This is Darkvale. You see here on the western side of the map along the Storm Coast, you see Waterdeep. Right here, and you see a small triangle. in the middle, kind of between the two points, is a small lumber town known as Findalin. We can stop there to resupply. It's still some days away, but we will make it to Findalin. We won't make it to Waterdeep with the level of supplies we have, even with the food that Elia gave us.
I guess that Findalin would be a good spot to resupply. Let's go there first, then, shall we?
Silence kind of comes between the two of you. You see, Daedalus isn't being quiet to be distant from you, he just has nothing to say. As the two of you keep moving on along the King's Road from out of Darkvale, you towards the forested woodlands of the surrounding areas of the Vale, towards the mountains, you see one last look of your town as you reach the outskirts. You look back and you see two things. One, the hopeful outlook of one day maybe coming back to this place and bringing it back to the glory it once had. You see the town and you remember what it used to be. And you see what it is now. Although it may not be what it once was, it's only been 4 years and the damage that has been done can still be undone. Beyond this, one thing sticks out to you, and it fills you with nothing but sorrow, and it is the sight of the tree still burning in the distance behind the manor. You and Daedalus continue journeying through the King's Road into the King's Wood towards Findalin. Along the roads to Findalin, thanks to your father's training and what survival skills you managed to retain from that at your age, the two of you make haste towards Findalin, traveling across the King's Road. You manage to avoid a few hazards along the way, mainly things like a pack of roaming boars. They were clearly searching for some sort of food or looking for some sort of trouble in their territory. You also see flying above what looks to be a wyvern, and you signal that to Daedalus, and the two of you hide in the bushes nearby as the wyvern crosses over. Very weird sight seeing a wyvern come down from the mountains, but as you and Daedalus discuss to each other after the incident, it makes a lot of sense considering the dragon likely took that wyvern's territory, and now it's looking for a new place to hunt. You and Daedalus travel for hours on end, and morning approaches afternoon, and afternoon approaches the evening. The sun is setting in the distance, but it's not quite setted yet. As you and Daedalus are walking, the King's Road begins to reach a bend, turning to the left. As you clear this bend, the forest begins to actually clear up, and you come to a small clearing. In front of you, these people don't see you yet, but you see a wagon ahead. It's rear axle, completely out of place. So the wagon is basically just sitting on the ground and the rear axle is dislodged. One of the wheels on the back end is in place, but the other wheel is completely undone. You see the wagon needs resetting on that axle in order for them to continue journeying or whoever's on that carriage. You see three people. A young man, tan bronze-colored skin, curly brown hair. You see him wearing what looks to be very simple farmers-like clothing. He doesn't have any weapons that you can tell. You see a young woman as well, along with the young man. She's wearing a simple dress, blue in color, golden-colored hair. And the third amongst them, a larger, older man than the younger two. And you see he's wearing what looks to be some sort of farmhand attire. You can see a flannel, a straw hat, very traditional. You see the three of them are standing there, and they're looking over what looks to be their things that have fallen out of this carriage. A trunk full of clothes. You see all the clothes strewn about the outside of the wagon. You see a chest full of belongings that has fallen out and has spilt onto the ground. You see the three people kind of rummaging through these things and kind of stuffing them back in there and moving them into other bags and so on and so forth. As you approach, probably about 50 yards away, they haven't spotted us yet. Daedalus reaches out and puts a hand in front of you. Do you see that?
I do.
What do you think of it?
They look like they need some help. I think we should help them.
Halas kind of looks over at them. You see him give them a long stare. Like a very long stare, like he's very suspicious of them. He looks at you. We can help them, but if they make any sudden movements, they will be sorry.
And I'll even have a little countermeasure. As Alistair reaches into his pack and grabs a canteen and drinks a cup of water and casts Armor of Agathys. Alistair's going to approach the people near the wagon. Hello, do you guys need some help?
You turn back to look for Daedalus. He ain't even there no more. You kind of peek over your shoulder, and you're there by yourself. The man looks at you. Well, if you want to help me try to get this axle back up under this carriage, you can. This is my son. This is my future daughter-in-law. I'm trying to get them to Phandalin. We're trying to get there to have a proper marriage under the eyes of Atmora, the Lady of Luck. Name's Chet Strongjaw.
Chet, pleasure to meet you. I am Alistair Darkhart.
Alistair Darkhart. Can't say I ever heard that name before. You from around here?
Yes, and I can't tell you how refreshing it was to hear that.
All right, Alistair. Why don't you come over here? Here, I want you to lift this side of the axle up. You lift that side of the axle up. I'm going to try to get that carriage and try to position it back up under there, or back up on there. All right, get that axle right under there. You see, and he's kind of pointing where he wants you to, as he lifts the carriage, he wants you to kind of slide the axle over to the right. He looks at you. My son will help you. Shouldn't be too hard.
All right, Chet.
He moves over. You ready?
Yep.
On the count of three. Three, two, and as soon as he says two, you feel a dagger right up against your neck. No sudden movements.
You guys just then you feel, really fucked up, didn't you?
And you feel another dagger come around to the front of your gut as the girl moves around to the front of you. Oh, really? Did we? She says as she starts to look over and start patting down your pockets. No sudden movements, okay? And she starts looking around. Got some gold, Pa. And then you see the father come around the wagon. Oh, you can drop the act. We ain't family, you know that. And he walks over and he snatches the coin purse from your waist. And he looks inside and you see him kind of nod and he puts the coin purse in his pocket. You alone, boy?
Only alone with my deepest, darkest thoughts.
Hear a chuckle from the three of them. Well, allow me to explain what's going to happen here at this point. You mentioned the name Darkhart. I know that name. Your pa used to be Crowley Darkhart, ain't it? You're that boy, the one who went missing with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Strange.
Mm.
Little Lord walking around these woods. Mm. You know, we were thinking maybe one of the hunting lodge boys would come through here and we get to rob them. No, we get a whole lord. Anyways, your bag, your belongings, it's ours. Hand it over. Calmly. My friend here don't gut you. Either way, we gonna get what's ours. So hand it over. And you feel the dagger kind of push into your skin a little bit. And you can feel it's broken skin. It's drawn a little bit of blood.
And Alistair lets out, like, he's breathing a little heavier than before as it pokes him a little bit. And he, begrudgingly so, hands over his bag.
So you're not really family. Damn shame. But I can take you to meet your ancestors.
As Alistair is going to fucking immediately, as he hands the bag over with his free hand, he's going to Eldritch Blast this motherfucker in the face.
Whilst you do manage to raise your hand to cast this Eldritch Blast, they manage to react as well to this. Go ahead and roll your two attack on which one are you attacking?
Chet.
Okay. He's 5 feet away from you, so you have to roll with disadvantage because he's so close to you.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm very much aware. Okay. I'll summon my blade here on my next turn. Damn, I rolled a 7. I rolled a natural 20 as one of mine, too, which sucks.
Unfortunately, you miss, but you do Hexblade him, or Hex Curse him, excuse me. What ability are you hexing on him?
One second. I'm going to read. Curse it for 1 minute. Against a curse target, you get a plus 2. So it's not like a hex spell. It's a Hexblade's curse. It doesn't say.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't say that.
I'm sorry, I thought it was the hex spell. Forgive me. But your hexblade's cursing, okay.
And I'm assuming we're rolling initiative right now?
One second, I'm going to describe the scene, and then we're going to roll initiative. But if you want to go ahead and roll yours, yes, you can.
Give me a good
one. To clarify where everyone is, in front of you, 5 feet in front of you, is the guy who introduced himself as Chet. The guy who is his fake son is standing behind you with a dagger to your throat. And about 5 feet, 10 feet-ish, I'd say closer to 10 feet to your right, is the woman that was with them. And she's currently going through more of the belongings and your stuff. As this happens, you attack them.
Yep, Alistair is immediately pulling out his sun-touched rapier, and it's going right in his fucking gut. Alistair thrusts forward as I'm assuming he dodges out of the way, and Alistair is just like, what the fuck? This guy is faster than I thought he was.
It is now Chet's son, or his fake son, who is at the sight of you kicking out your shooting an Eldritch Blast and then stabbing out at Chet. He's going to bring you to your knees, like kick your knees out from underneath you. You are now on your knees. He's going to take the dagger, and he's going to plunge it into you.
He's going to take 5 cold damage from Armor of Agathys as the magical armor around me absorbs the damage.
So as he sinks the dagger into your neck, he feels it sink in. On his end, he feels the dagger go into your neck, and he's thinking you should be dead. When he pulls the dagger out, there's no blood. And you didn't even feel a dagger go in you. As when he pulls the dagger out, he looks at it, and it is covered in this sort of thick, almost layer of ice on the dagger from this ethereal armor that you've projected upon yourself. And immediately the dagger, the ice that's around it, explodes in his face. The dagger's still together, but all the ice just shoots off like many pin needles all over his body. And he takes 5 cold damage from the ice spikes shooting off of the dagger that he tried to stab you with. As this happens, his grip loosens on you. You're still on your knees, but he does let go of the grip because he's like,
Alistair is going to rise his hand up into the sky, and like I said, you'll meet your fucking ancestors as he casts Hellish Rebuke.
That motherfucker frozen. He dead. He's just,
What you all see is as he stumbles back and all these pin needles of ice hit him in the face, he is immediately frozen. You just see a glacier, a very small glacier surrounding him as he's now trapped in the ice.
As this happens, you hear the woman shout, Daedric, no! As she moves forward to now attack Alistair. Daedalus is going to attack now. He's been hidden this whole time. He's been waiting for his opportunity. From the shadows, I'd say probably about 20, 25 feet away, rushing from behind the other side of the carriage, you see him before they do. You see a streak of gold go by just for a second. You hear the footsteps. The girl turns, and as she turns, you see Daedalus come out of the shadows and reek the sickle across the midriff of her body. He just rakes it across her. You hear the footsteps just long enough to where, as soon as you turn and look towards the woman, you see Daedalus come running from the other side of the carriage, and you see him take a wide swipe as he's running by the woman across her chest, and you see a fresh spray of what can only be described as vermilion ichor spraying the air around Daedalus as he cuts her down. He runs towards the next one, running towards the larger man that's about 5 feet in front of Alistair. Daedalus is now on the opposite side of him. He cuts down the woman and then positions himself behind Chet. You see him do one of those look left, look right, look left, look right, because we are on either side of him. He immediately pulls out 2 scimitars from either side of his scabbards, and the man begins to attack. He moves towards Daedalus as Daedalus literally just cut that woman almost in half in front of him, and he's running right at him. And you're in a kneeled position versus Daedalus, like literally about to cut towards him. 2 attacks at Daedalus. Yeah, 2 attacks. Wow. The man takes his scimitars, and you see him take a step towards Daedalus, his back turned to you now. He takes the scimitars, and they were in sort of a defense position, almost an X in front of him. As he steps forward, he sort of takes his arms, rings them above his head, flourishes them forward and takes two cleaving strikes towards Daedalus's midriff, trying to take out either side of his sort of rib cage area. You see, as Daedalus is ready, you watch Daedalus move. You can see he is deceptively fast for a dragonborn of his size. He easily moves out of the way of those two scimitars, and you see he's smirking again, and you see the ichor that kind of covers part of Daedalus's body, the blood of the woman. He's relishing this moment. He likes to fight. You can see it on him.
I'm getting the fuck in range for an Eldritch Blast, so I'm going to move 30 feet away from him.
He sees you get up to move. You can see with very quick movement. He's fast, too. He's still got speed on him. Just because Daedalus can dodge some of his moves doesn't mean that you're going to be as quick as Daedalus, especially in the state you're in, moving from a kneeled position. As you move back, you see him very quickly flourish his scimitar and shoot it almost directly behind him with a quick flurry of movement. And he shoots the scimitar in and right into your collarbone. It slices into you. But as this happens, he pulls the scabbard back. The scabbard turns to ice, and needles shoot into him across the midriff, right side of his stomach and chest area. The man introduced himself as Chet, with his dark-hued skin and his braided hair. You see him. You pay for what you did to them. As he continues fighting the both of you off, you move back after taking that damage and dealing damage to Chet, blasting him into the backside. He stumbles forward towards Daedalus, and as that happens, and he's knocked forward just a little bit by that force, Daedalus sees his moment and he begins to strike. And it's almost like a combo attack. So, like, imagine he swings back at you, hits you, but then that ice back blast hits him, and he's then he stumbles forward from the force of your Eldritch Blast right into Daedalus's swing of his next attack. Chet's too busy turned around dealing with you to realize Daedalus is bringing that sickle down right now. So Daedalus is going to attack with the sickle again. Daedalus is bringing down his right hand with the sickle in a full downswing. You see as it cleaves into his collarbone area. You watch as a red mist protrudes from the wound. Chet screams out in pain. He falls to his knees. Daedalus looks at you, and you see it, he says right to you, "Finish this!" And as the sickle makes contact with Chet, you can see the impact. Hits his shoulder, reverberates into his body. He watches his knees buckle. The blood sprays. He falls to his knees, screaming out in pain. His left arm, from the arm that is closest to where the sickle made impact, completely goes limp. No muscle control. The right arm flailing from the pain. He screams out.
As Alistair raises his hand up, a black mist forms an icicle that shoots out from his hand and makes contact with Chet's head and completely decapitates this guy. The force of this blast literally pops his head like a fucking balloon, and you can see the crimson ichor of his blood spray all over Daedalus' face.
He watches his head just shatters. It explodes. The blood that would have been spraying out on Daedalus is completely frozen. Literally from where his head is, I would say probably about 6, 7, 8, maybe 9, 10 inches from the neck towards the shoulders down towards the chest, that entire area is frozen, like as if it's been dipped in liquid nitrogen. You can see the red color of the blood that was beginning to spew from the wound, completely frozen. Chet's lifeless body holds a stiff, almost rigor mortis-like position already. Daedalus removes the sickle, and as he removes the sickle, chunks of ice and frozen flesh rip off of Chet's corpse, and it flops. Daedalus shakes out the sickle, and the blood shoots from it, and the chunks of ice come off of it. He looks at you. He looks at the corpse. What the hell was that? How much of that can you do?
As many times as I'd like to, really.
You see Daedalus walks over to you, and he reaches his hand out to help you up to your feet.
Thank you. Dusts himself off. By the way, Daedalus, I know it's probably not the best time to ask, considering I just killed somebody, but your swordsmanship with your scimitar, quite exceptional.
It's a sickle.
A sickle? It looks like a scimitar. He looks, he squints his eyes.
My dad never taught me the blades, I'm sorry. I see pointy or sharp. It kill, it do job.
Daedalus looks at you. Allow me to educate you, Alistair. He grabs Chet's hand or wrist, and his wrist is still holding onto his scimitar. And he takes the other hand, tries to rip the scimitar out of it, but it won't let go. Let fucking go, you're fucking dead! And he rips it off, rips the scimitar out of his hands. Thank you. Takes the scimitar. This is a scimitar. See the curve?
Oh.
Slight curve. Okay? This is a sickle. And he shows you. Sickle, big curve.
Hmm.
Scimitar.
Interesting.
Actual weapon. Sickle. Not really weapon. Can be, though, in the right hands, but not really a weapon.
Hmm. Interesting.
Anyways, in the future, here's a tip for you. If you see random people that need help on the roadside, not always are they really random people who need help on the roadside, if you get what I'm saying now.
Clearly, because I was just almost robbed. Speaking of, he's going to grab his 5 gold pieces that they took off of him and his bag.
In addition to 5 gold, you find their bag of gold that they had with them, and you can see that they've got a bag with 4 additional gold pieces, 17 silver, and 11 copper.
Which he splits with Daedalus, so he'll get 2 gold pieces. Daedalus can take the extra 9, so I'll take the 8 silver pieces. And then I'll take the 6 copper pieces, and you take the 5 copper pieces.
Very well. You also find, in addition to this, 2 potions of healing.
I'm going to give one to you, obviously.
Alistair, you find a what looks to be a small jewelry box. But as you look inside the jewelry box, you open it and you see two stones. One, a very bright sapphire, and the other, a deep, darker emerald stone. You take a look at them, and you're holding this, I would say, ebony-colored box with a bit of ivory trimmings. Daedalus kind of peeks at it over your shoulder. What the hell is that?
Looks like 2 gems of some kind? And Alistair holds them both up and looks at them, kind of placing the box on the floor and looking at these curiously.
Daedalus reaches up, and he attempts to procure the green one from your hands. As he reaches out to grab so, you hear him say, may I?
Oh, of course. And he hands him the green one.
As he grabs the green one, and it leaves your hand, and you're still holding the blue one, the blue one begins to glow much brighter, and so does the green one. They both have a bit of a, it's not a glow on the outside, it's like an internal glow. You can see the center of the stone has like a small light to it that kind of brightens up. And as this happens, Daedalus looks at it, and you see him, he looks at it. Strange magic this is. And then you hear his voice again, but this time emanating from the stone, and you hear, strange magic this is. Daedalus looks over at you. What the hell was that? What the hell was that?
I don't know what the hell that was. I don't know what the hell that was.
Sending stones. Sending stones.
Sending stones? Sending stones?
Put them back in the box. Put them back in the box. And he starts trying to get it back in there to get it to shut the fuck off.
Alistair does the same.
Oh, well, that could be helpful, actually. They were so kind as to hand deliver us these sending stones and let us kill them. How excellent.
And I hand delivered them to the gods myself, the scum that they are.
Probably sent them to the hells, to be honest. They're thieves. What lair did they go to? Dis, perhaps Stygia. Yeah, Stygia. That sounds more like it.
Alistair's guys... kind of like side-eyeing him as he says that.
You guys gather your things. Daedalus grabs the green sending stone from the box, and he says, as long as we hold these, they will work. If we're not directly holding it, shouldn't do much. He puts it in his pocket. He speaks. You hear him. He goes, testing. Testing. It doesn't do anything. He picks it up with his hand. He looks at you to pick up yours.
Alistair picks it up.
And he says it again. Testing. And then you hear it. Testing. Okay, it works. Puts it back in his pocket. Definitely sending stones. Very nice.
They'll come in handy later.
Daedalus looks at all the clothes and stuff strewn about. Any of this look useful to you? Do we need clothes? I don't think we need any more clothes.
I think we're quite all right.
You guys gather the rest of your belongings. Gather a little bit of supplies from their belongings. What food and what supplies they brought out with them to camp out and ambush travelers. And you two continue the road towards Vindaloon. It's evening time now. You guys travel for a few more hours into the night. When finally the moon reaches its apex, you're assuming this is probably around, probably 10 at night. Daedalus has been walking with you for some time, and Daedalus turns to you. The hour goes late, Alistair. Perhaps it is time to make camp for the evening.
I agree. I'll help you set up camp. We'll get a fire going.
Go ahead and roll me a survival check with advantage.
17.
All right. 17 is enough. You guys very easily set up camp. Just off of the King's Road in a small bank. Nestled under some trees for some head coverage. You guys find a nice cozy spot to pitch your tent. And for the two of you to start a small fire. Pour me one.
Alistair chuckles and pours.
He breaks his meditation. You see Daedalus kind of moves over to get another glass of that dark veil divine.
And pours him a glass and hands it to him.
Tomorrow, we make it to Vindaloon. Should be there in a few hours. If you see just over that hill over there, just on the other side of that, there'll be a valley. Some distance within the valley will be Vindaloon. We're not far. Maybe another 4 or 5 hours once we wake in the morning.
This will be a quick trip. We'll resupply and continue on our way to Waterdeep.
And he raises his cup. You see his eyes kind of raise like, that's a good idea. And he raises his cup to Waterdeep. And then he fucking chugs it.
To Waterdeep. And Alistair chugs his as well.
Sets the glass down. Daedalus stretches out for a second. Well, Alistair, I'm going to go get some rest for the evening. If anything happens, wake me. You see him just move towards the tent, and he kind of moves in there and gets himself comfortable, and you see he puts out the lantern light that was going on in there. That is a good point to call it for tonight, though.
I do agree.
I appreciate everyone who is here for the stream, for watching, and anybody who's catching the recording of this on Spotify or whatever other platforms we have this posted to. I appreciate you watching as well. Don't forget to, if you haven't already, check out the podcast on Spotify, subscribe to our channels, and make sure to turn on those notifications so that you can see the new postings for Thrones and Tales of Lodrianth every Friday. A new episode of Tales of Lodrianth dropped earlier today. And it's very, very good. So I encourage you guys, if you have time, check that out if you can. Once again, thank you so much for being here. And with that, that's it for today. Have a good night, y'all.